Just want to open up in a word of prayer. God is good. And, you know, my prayer, you know, I thank God every day. And I'm just going to, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you gave us your Son. Father, you love us so much that you brought him here on this earth to die for us. That law, Father, that we would not have to live under the law of Moses, but we could live under grace. Because your word says where grace abounds, sin no longer does. And we thank you so much for that, Father. Father, I thank you for this church and all these people who are in this church. Father, all of us have needs and desires that only you can fulfill in our lives, Father. And we thank you that you are there for us to do that. Heavenly Father, we just give you all the praise and the glory in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Through this time that we as a church are going through is a transitional time, and it's not an easy time for any of us, but I want to let everybody be rest assured that we have speakers lined up that will be coming in here to speak during this time, and that we are working with the district as far as possible candidates who will be able to, all of us will have an opportunity to hear and listen to their ministry and what they have to share with us and have that opportunity to vote. It's not something that's just done by the district, not something that's just done by the board, but it's done by this congregation. It's the people who will have an opportunity. So, you know, it's it can be an exciting time, but as well as a time of, oh, this is not going to be easy. And, but rest assured, God's in control. And it's through him we can come through this on the other side. And, you know, Mark and Becky, we love them. We care for them. They're important to us. And we just ask God that he will meet their needs in their lives and the things that they need to deal with in their lives and stuff, and that he will restore them. And that's, you know, so important. So just want to make everybody rest assured on that, you know. That's where we're at.
So, and thank you for sharing that. You know, we're going to go through a process. This congregation gets to pick our next pastor. So there was some concern about this or that being pushed on us, and that's just not the case. And we have that reassurance from Albert, the district pastor. And I've been really thankful for their kindness, their support, having real conversations, and they're just really right there for us. So, and I love that part. I also love this body, because this body chooses to listen to Jesus and keep our eyes on Jesus, and that is what's going to see us through these things. It's just an adjustment in life, and we thank God for his mercy, his love, and there's a lot of needs in this body. God's doing wonderful things, but there's also heavy burdens. I look at my sister Linda over there, and there's a lot of family dynamics going on, and we lift them up in prayer and all that stuff. My brother Terry, it's so good to see you. So Terry's been out with some tremendous pain that has kept him at home for quite a long time, and so what a pleasure. And we've been talking back and forth and praying for God's mercy, and God opened some doors up to get care. It worked? Praise God. So you do have relief from pain then. That is a miracle. Hey, we're in testimony already. We're not even there yet. I'm okay with it, though. Anyway, so thank you all for what you do. And I think, Brother Mike, you ready to bring us into a time of worship? Thank you.
I like to think of worship as an encounter with God, you know, more than just singing songs. We engage our hearts and encounter him and express with those the words of the music to him, you know, in real time. So it isn't worship until it's that way. And Jesus said, you can, you know, we can draw near with our lips and our hearts be far from him. So let's make sure that we engage our hearts as we worship and encounter God. Amen?
Amen.
That's important. Amen. All right. Is there joy in the house of the Lord today? Amen.
The God who evermore will be. He parted the earthen doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. No, we shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung upon that cross, then He rose up from the grave. My God's still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. No, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. No, we shout out your praise. I'm gonna shout out your praise. We were the bakers, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Come on! 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. No, we shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. One more time, real loud, we shout out. We shout out your praise.
Hallelujah. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. Chain breaker. You've been hearing the same old voice till the same old lies. You've been trying to feel the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. Way maker, you need freedom, a saving. He's a prison shaking savior. You've got pain, He's a chain breaker. Amen. We've all searched for the light of day and the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. Things you know that just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. Got pain. He's a pain taker. You belong. He's a way maker. If you need freedom, a sailing, He's a prison shaking savior. We got days. He's a chain breaker. You believe it. You receive it. If you can feel let somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, you receive it. You believe it, I'm gonna testify, testify. If you believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify, testify. Believe it, you receive it. You can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel it all, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got pain, he's a chain. Oh, yes, he is. Hun, could you pull up Higher Ground? We're going to do that one, too. Does anybody... we just watched last night. It was so good. I'll bring it up. It's Jesus Revolution. What a song. What a movie. Man, it really got to me. What I think... Chuck Smith recognized the love that they had for Jesus. They weren't religious. The religion can make you, obligation and dutiful, but not very passionate. That's what was missing. And when these kids got a hold of Jesus, he got passionate for God, right? And he saw that and he goes, man, let's just move over and make room, you know? That was so good. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining, gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stay. By faith on heaven's chamberlain, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. Amen. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Some may dwell where these are bound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stay by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's little s had me hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound. The song of saints on higher ground. Some fun out there. That was good. I like that. You got the clap in, and then I got the. I was a little off. You got it. You were right on time. Oh, that was fun. Thank you, Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord. And laughter's good. Oh, man.
I think Jesus gets a kick out of it. I really do. Oh, it's so good to be with you today. With the family. Having church. We love you, Lord. You're amazing, God. You're amazing. We just thank you. You're so good. I don't care how dark it might look. I was talking earlier to Steve and Linda about God will always raise up a standard against the enemy, you know. Though he come in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And the Bible says, arise and shine, although gross darkness is over all the earth. Arise and shine, for the Lord, you know, thy light has come. And he is going to meet that darkness head on with a greater light than the world has ever seen. And you are that light. You are. It's him. Him through us that's going to show the world a miracle, a sign, and a wonder that they can't ignore. They're going to wonder, what in the world do you have going on inside of you? It's coming. Be ready, church. It's coming. That's too way maker, huh?
You are here. You're moving in on me. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're changing hearts and minds. I worship you. You are here. I want to see you as you are. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, you're touching every heart.
Favorite parts. It doesn't matter what it looks like, folks. You just keep praying, keep pressing in, because God is at work even when we don't see it. He's answering prayers even that you don't realize. He is working. He that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Let's sing it.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. You never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Sing it again. When I don't see it, even when I can't feel it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Amen. Never stop working, Jesus. The Bible says, prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Make his path straight. All flesh shall see the glory of the Lord together.
Of the sun.
prepare the way. What a good word. Thank you, Jesus, for this time where we come before you and sing songs of prayer and just having a desire for you, Jesus. Come fill us. Join us. Help us to become full. Help us to become you, especially to this broken world, to our families, to our friends, and to be there for each other, to lift each other up through times that are difficult and challenging. Father, we see hope in you. We see life. We see the joy that Mike was talking about, and we look forward to that. We thank you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Okay, if I could share a scripture out of 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God through the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time where this body comes together. We trust and lean on you. We know that you are powerful and you love us at the same time. I think of the words Shelley said is that, and I've heard this from so many other people, and including myself, is that I'm not worthy. And yet God thinks differently of us. If we humbly come before him, he restores us, he lifts us up, he does wonderful things. But the beautiful thing is, he lives Jesus through us, with us. He could do all these things without us, but he doesn't want to. He's right there with us. So, Father, I thank you for this time. As Pastor Mike gets up and shares your word, we just ask that you open our ears, open our eyes, and help us be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you.
The old-fashioned way.
That's right. That's it. Glory. Glory to God. That word glory, you know, we throw it around a lot in the church. It just means the view and opinion of God, the way he views us. Well, thank you for allowing me to come and share this morning. I think he has put something on my heart. I hope I can deliver it with clarity and effectiveness. And I know you'll be receptive to the Lord. I always preface what I want to say with the fact that I don't know what I will say. The Holy Spirit might say things through me that I haven't even considered, you know? So that's kind of cool, isn't it, to think that he can speak through me and things and through all of us, really, in that moment with life. Jesus said, life is in the preceding word from the mouth of the Father. That's amazing. So that's what we want. Let's just worship God for a moment here. Father, thank you again for this precious family that you are building your church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I thank you for each individual, Lord, that we are responding to you, to your voice that will not harden our hearts, to your voice, Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Yeah, help us to listen. In Jesus' name I pray. I think it's the core of my message is that we listen to God's voice when he is speaking and we respond. He is after something, and it could be through his voice to you by the Holy Spirit. It can be an illumination of the Word of God to get your attention. It could be your wife or your husband. Yes? The Holy Spirit can work. And sometimes that's the voice of God. It comes in many forms. Your boss, even a difficult circumstance, you know, pressure produces. I'm going to talk about that a bit, but tribulation works patience. So tribulation is just pressure. And sometimes the title, a working title of my message is turning that I into a sea like Christ. And in order to bend that will to the will of God, sometimes it takes pressure. Can you see a strong man with that iron piece of iron and it just, you know, he bends it. It takes pressure to do that. And sometimes our will is like that bar of steel. This is interesting. When God starts to get close to something in you that he wants to do, you can become, there's a lot of ways to respond to that. You can become fearful. You can become angry at the person who's pointing it out. You can become victimized. Well, they just don't, you know, and begin to blame those around you who are pointing out that thing that is obvious to everyone else but you. But God loves us enough to change us from the inside out, from the inside out. It's true. We've got to be, what I want to say, this comes out funny. We've got to be in the closet what we are in public. We've got to be no skeletons in the closet, that we have nothing to hide, that we are in public what we are in private. Yes? There's a consistency, and that's what will win the world. It's when they see in your life, the words you speak, the actions are speaking louder than the words, right? Man, oh man. And this is where I'm headed this morning. It's just to respond to the correction, to the truth. I have a statement that a friend, Brother Jim Richards, a teacher, Bible teacher, who said, the truth that has the most potential to offend you also has the most potential to set you free. Let me say that again. The truth that has the most potential to offend you has the most potential to set you free. Because it's that very offensive thing that is wanting to deliver you and liberate. God knows that. He doesn't want us stuck in our immaturity. And stuck in our, you know, our attitudes and our temperaments and our, it's the way I've always been. You know what I mean? He will confront those things in us to make us more like his son. Yes? All things. We quote that one, you know, Romans 8:28. All things, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Period. But there's more to it. And it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So this conforming is a process, and it can take pressure sometimes. It can take exposure to truth, and light will hit that darkness in us and desire from us freedom and liberation. Amen? Yeah. It's the very thing that hurts sometimes that is the thing we need most. I'm going to just tell you, some things pop into my head, and I think, should I say this? When I was a kid, I would develop boils on my backside. And my mom, or dad, I guess, would lovingly put pressure on that boil to extract all that was inside that was causing the pain. All the infection, right? And it hurt. Hurt a lot. It hurt. But I knew it was the only way for healing. Maybe that's a kind of a graphic illustration. But it was, I could remember, you know, that so clear. And it's sort of that principle. There's something in you sometimes that's festering. Something that needs healing. Something that needs to get exposed.
And sometimes it's the pressures of life that are going to create that ability to release what's in you that needs to get out. And it requires humility. And it requires an openness and a teachableness and a desire to be like Him. Yes. It's so important. Amen. That we desire to be like Him no matter what. No matter what it takes. We are willing to allow those things to confront us so that we might grow up, become mature in Jesus' name. Because the moment you begin to blame others for your problem, that's the moment you stay stuck in your problem. It's so true, isn't it? When you become a victim, you're no longer maturing, you're no longer moving forward, you're no longer growing. You're staying right where you are until that moment, until that thing is dealt with in your life. Yes? And God in His love will continue to bring you back to that. You know, another thought just popped into my head. Sometimes when a person fails to look at themselves, how do I want to say this? They will leave a marriage and find someone else and think that that's the problem with the person they were with when they bring the same problem with them into the next relationship because they failed to face what was wrong with them. Another person isn't going to fix your problem, right? That just popped into my head too. My goodness. So it's important that you face the music now. You don't need another mate. You need to look inside the mirror and say, I need another me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man. So this is so critical. It's so important. Let's stop for the right there with the, shooting from the hip preaching. That can be good too, but I've also got scriptures that we can look at. So let's look at the first one. Proverbs 29:1, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy, which means a cure. Strong word. It is. Don't harden your heart in the day of the voice of God. Don't ignore His voice because it will cost you. You will suffer consequences of that choice. You will. If you harden your heart to His voice, you will suffer the consequences of your choice. And God, it isn't God doing it. It's just simply the, you're reaping what you sow. That's right. It's a law. Like gravity. You know, you jump off the building, you're going to fall. You know what I mean? So, natural sin has wages. The wages of sin is death. And that's just built in. It's the consequence of sin. It isn't God's punishment. It's just built into the sin itself. What God is trying to get us to avoid is the pain of that bad choice. He is not a party pooper. He is simply trying to get you to avoid the consequences and the destruction of divorce and hell. You know what I'm saying? And all the, and alcoholism and all the rest of it. It's just painful. It leaves a destructive debris behind it and children that are broken. It's true. So we need to listen to the voice of God before things get so bad that we can't remedy them anymore. That there's no cure. Amen? I know this is a heavy message. It is. I don't always preach like this. I like the good stuff. This is good stuff though, right? Okay, Michael, keep going here. And this is my musing. Sometimes I'll grab my phone when I'm meditating and thinking of things, and I'll jot them. I'll speak into my phone and then email myself what I spoke. Here's some of it. Sometimes changing our minds is like bending steel. It's a slow process that requires a lot of pressure. We can resist change until pressure is put on us to bend our wills to God's. It comes in the form of his word, his voice, a wife, a boss, illness, financial need, or any difficult circumstance. Whatever it takes, God will bring us to the easiest way we'll go. God does not cause the pressure, but he can use it for our benefit. See? He can use it for our benefit, and he will. Nothing goes to waste. Yes? And it actually produces good things inside of us. So recognize the voice of God when he's speaking. Don't just dismiss it. Don't ignore it. But listen to what he's saying. Hallelujah. Let's go on to the next thing. I think truth that offends has the most potential to set us free. I've already shared that. Self-pity and anger can keep us stuck in our behaviors. If you think you're a victim and blame others for your problems, you stop maturing. Consequences can become more severe as we ignore the voice of God. And it's true. They will become more severe until we listen. Yes? Boy, it's true. It's all what it's about. I mean, think of how progressive it can be. If a child doesn't listen to his parent, he might listen to his teacher. If he doesn't listen to his teacher, he might listen to a policeman. If he doesn't listen to a policeman, he might listen to a judge. If he doesn't listen to a judge, he might end up in prison. How far do you go with this stuff, right? Until you ignore the voice of God, until you find him finally give in. Amen? All right.
Let's read on. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. See, it's that I that must become a see. Do you see? It must bend to the will of God until all that's left is, yes, no longer I, but Christ. You see? I remember reading that once and it stuck with me. The I becomes a see who loved me and gave me. That's so good. Praise the Lord. Bent. It's true. I was always, we were talking about how wind, wind, wheat and grass just flows with the breeze, right? There's no resistance. Even a leaf on a tree will quiver in the slightest movement of the breeze. I'd rather be like that with God's Spirit than have to be, blows, death blows, which, so let's respond like the wind. Don't resist his dealings with us. You'll like the results. Guaranteed fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control, faith, all those things start to work in us. Amen. It's the fruit of the results of the workings of the Holy Spirit inside. You ever meet someone who's bitter? And it's like you just took a bite of a green apple or whatever thing you think, it just leaves an aftertaste. Someone who has resisted God, who's angry at the world. You know what I mean? They carry it with them. They carry that with them, and you know it, you sense it, and you feel like you need a bath after you're done. But anyway, God loves them. Let's go on. Therefore, Romans 5, favorite person. These are very familiar scriptures. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. That's another whole sermon in itself. Innocent by faith, through whom we have access by faith. Access. Say access. See, when we're worshiping God, there is nothing in between you and him. The veil's rent and you have access to the Holy of Holies. Isn't that good? My Lord. Wow.
What a privilege that only the priest used to have once a year. Now you are priests, kings, and you have access to God as much as you want. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory. Let me stop. That word grace is his ability. It's his gift, right? His giftings, his ability to stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Remember I said tribulation is pressure. Why do we rejoice in pressure? Knowing what? That pressure, if you don't mind me interjecting that word in there, produces what? Perseverance or endurance. See? It's getting something positive out of something seemingly negative in your life. Right? That's the way it is. Produces perseverance, and perseverance or endurance, character. Character. I'm telling you what, the more gifting God, the more God wants to do through you, the greater your character has to be to contain the gift. Think about this. He wants to do through the church so much more than he is, but it's going to require of you and I a character of Christ to contain and hold that power, hold that gift, hold that those abilities in us, right? I'm talking about, it's coming, moving in the gifts of the Spirit. That movie, Jesus Revolution, you know, Lonnie Frisbee, he started moving in words of wisdom. You have a left ear that's deaf. And he started, you know, and he saw things. He started seeing things in the Spirit, started operating in that realm where God, I've been in services like that. But it takes character to contain those kinds of gifts. All right. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. That's good. Developing godly character, maturity. All right. And hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Yeah, I was thinking about Peter. You know, Peter's such a good example of talking about character change. A man who in fear denied that he ever knew the Lord. Jesus who? What's his who? Don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? He felt threatened. You know, and wept bitterly, it broke him. Jesus reinstates him, says, feed my sheep. And after Pentecost, he was the chief speaker, publicly declaring Jesus Christ as his Lord. Jesus Christ, amazing transformation of a man who was once fearful, now taking the lead, you know, the character change. And the ability to carry that gift. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Okay, more pressure here. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, again, see, endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. He that is perfect in knowledge is with you. You have within you, you contain a complete man. You have the wholeness. You have the Christ himself within you. And there isn't any weakness that can't become a strength in your life. Why? Because the complete Christ dwells within. If you need to be a better husband, guess who's the perfect husband? Jesus, right? If you need to be a better wife, who's the perfect mother? Who's the perfect father? Who's the perfect man? He is all of it. And we can go to him no matter what the weakness in the issue is. And we can draw from him. We can access his perfection and express it. I believe that, don't you? That within you dwells the answer to every need, every weakness, every issue. Amen. If you need courage, he's the courageous one. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. If you're fearful, amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. He has all the things that we need. They're already in us. All that we need, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, all that we need for life and godliness has been given to us. See? This life and our spiritual life as well, you know. Wow. Let's read on. You don't mind if I read a little bit of the Bible to you? Okay. Numbers 22. Here we go. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord, because God told him not to go. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey. And his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. He was more responsive than the prophet was. Talk about the stubbornness of a donkey. Well, in this case, it was the stubbornness of the prophet. Okay? This is going to be fun. Let's read some more. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. Sometimes you need a wall on both sides to get you on the right, keep you straight, right? Straight and narrow. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Let's read on. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. I could kind of see like Yosemite Sam. When I say whoa, I mean whoa, you know. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Isn't this crazy? It's a funny story, really. It takes a jackass to get to people sometimes to see, you know, let it go. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right. Did I already read that? Oh, okay, next one. I would read it to you again. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I will kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Interesting, he's having a conversation with a donkey. I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. But you know, anger is another smokescreen to truth. You can just get angry about something that you don't want to hear. Yes. And that's another, you know, defense mechanism, if you will, to, you know, self-pity. Self-pity. Don't go there. Don't feel sorry for yourself. That's a devil's playground. Poor me. They're all against me. Nobody understands me. Me, 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 me. Okay? Glad I said that. Because that is a tendency in humans. I'll tell you this. If you haven't seen that movie, Lonnie Frisbee started to go downhill when he felt sorry for himself. He became a victim. And the very thing that Chuck Smith was trying to tell him was the thing he needed to hear. But he resisted that word. And it cost him, you know, ultimately. But I just say that, mention that in passing. Great movie, if you haven't seen it. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. He was seeing finally what the donkey was seeing all along. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. What was that you said, Fred? Uh-oh. Yeah, ruh-roh. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. All right. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you. He could probably stop right there. I did not know you. I didn't recognize your voice when you were trying to talk to me through my wife, through my boss, through the circumstances in my life. They were speaking loud and clear, but I was deaf and I wasn't listening and I was ignoring you. The Bible says, do not ignore the Lord. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Don't ignore the voice of God. If you don't hear anything else today but that, listen. It may be the very thing you don't want to hear that may be the thing you need to most hear. Right? Okay. So he says, finally, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. He didn't recognize him. Now, therefore, his eyes were closed. Therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Hallelujah. His eyes were closed to the Lord. The donkey saw him, but he didn't. And finally, it says his eyes were opened. And may our eyes be open to see. Not, you know. And that's what I had to give you this morning. For a purpose and a reason, I'm sure. It's love. Amen. Speak the truth in love. Yes. That's the truth. And the truth will set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I don't want to be stuck in my immaturity, in my pettiness, in my immaturity, like I say, and be a child for the rest of my life. The Bible says I put away childish things. I don't even speak like a child anymore. I don't think like a child anymore. I've become a man and I've put away childish things. Amen. That's important. I don't want to ignore God's voice and have everyone see it but me. We've got to be consistently who we are in secret, that we are in public, that we portray outside here who we are inside. I don't care. I don't want to get away with anything. I don't. Even if nobody sees, that's still who I am, right? Oh man, this is important. I've got to be me. I've got to know that I'm at least open to his correction and his dealings. You know, Paul says, not that I've attained all these things, but I press on towards that righteousness. So yeah, it's okay. We don't have to have it all figured out yet. But please respond correctly to the voice of God. Yes. When he does speak, say, yes, Lord. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Let us all respond, because God will take us to new places. And he loves you enough to point out what's wrong inside so that you can get it right and become new inside, right? Transformation. And I think I'm going to stop right there. I feel like we should end with a song or something. Yeah, it's kind of heavy, bro. So, Lord, I leave this with you. I leave this with your people. That the seed has been planted, and it's going to produce fruit. Fruit that of a repentance. Fruitfulness in our lives. That we're going to be more like you. And others are going to see things in us that they've never seen before. Changes in us that we never thought could occur. Because you have brought it to our attention. And our eyes have been opened to see clearly what it is you want done. What you want transformed. That I would just encourage you. I don't want to undo everything I said. But don't let what is wrong with you consume your attention. Because it will get bigger. I would say, look away to Jesus, like I told you. The answer is not going to be in looking deeper into yourself. The answer is going to be looking up and saying, Lord, here's my weakness. Please make it strong in me. because I am weak and you are strong. I am blind, but you see. I need your grace. I need your mercy to create in me something that isn't there. Something I missed in my childhood. Something I missed when I was growing up. I don't care. Make me complete now. All that you are, I can be because you're inside of me. And that's the truth. Let the truth set you free. It's him inside. There is no incompleteness in Jesus. And he is in you. And there need be no incompleteness in you. Right? In Jesus' name. Amen.
I think this verse goes right along with what Pastor's sharing with us. Yes. 1 John 1:7-9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right. That's good. Right there in the Bible. Got that one in there, hun?
I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Sickness, I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
What do you say?
I say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Here we go.
I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is gonna be my strength. Though sorrow may last through the night, his joy comes with the morning.
Yeah!
I'm trading my sorrow, trading my shame. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Oh, I'm trading my sickness, all my pain. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I say yes, Lord, yes.
What do you say?
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You show us examples out of your scripture of things where we fail. But Father, you're right there to lift us up. This powerful intervention that you had between a donkey and your prophet, I think happens to us on a regular basis. But Father, you give us the opportunity to come back to you, to repent. And you do it immediately. In fact, you give us the full power of your Holy Spirit. May we go out this week, love on one another, watch this world, and intervene where you ask us to intervene, Father. Let us not be spectators. Let us be doers of your words. Go and do in Jesus' name. Amen.